All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we doing? Great. That's awesome. How about the team? Man, that's good stuff. Give it up. Man, what an opportunity, each week to come in here and worship and to be able to sing praises to our God for how good he is. And, I hope that you all, each Sunday when you're here and when you're worshiping it on your own in your car or at home or whatever, that you truly are giving praise to God for how good he is. He's so good, and we would be desperately lost without him. And to be able to use music and to use words and to emote that is just a phenomenal thing that does so much for our soul and to the heart of God. So, this is awesome. Jared, team, we appreciate you guys, wherever y'all are at, back there somewhere. So, again, thank you all so much for being here with us today. My name is Andy Driscoll, and I'm the lead pastor here, and, I'm so excited that you're here as we wrap up this current series we're in called The Mask. And I hope that if you've been here for this series, I hope this has really been beneficial to you and has helped you and has made you think about some things or has challenged you to actually drop your mask. I know for me personally, as delivering and preaching this word, I've been faced several times already this week with, I'm like, all right, full disclosure, dropping the mask, here we go. Some people weren't ready for that, but I did it, and it was awesome. It was good for me, and it was good for them, and it was good for my relationship with God, so it was awesome. So I hope you all are having a similar experience to that. And today is week four of this series, and so it's the last week, and what we're going to talk about today is one that I think really is maybe the most important, most powerful, most destructive masks that we wear. So if you've been with us or you haven't been with us, in this series, what we've done is we've revealed and identified the fact that we're all pretty much pros at wearing masks. I think we've all come to that conclusion that we are good at wearing masks, especially in the church. I mean, pros, experts, all stars. Basically it's wearing that mask. It's pretending to be something that we're not, right? Or putting on this false outward show that's really not what's really going on in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirit, but we cover it up. We build a wall. We put on a mask because we feel like it's safer that way. And what we've been doing in this series is we're working to use scripture, look at what God really wants us to do for us to live our best life, to be able to reach more people, to really be on mission and have that clear line of communication with him. And what we found is that in order to do that, we have to drop the mask. We can't be fake. We have to be real and authentic. In week one, we talked about how we wear a mask many times and we hide from God, which again, doesn't work. It's like hiding under this like floor mat right there. It just doesn't work. It'd be a big bump in it. In week two, we talked about self-deception, right? How we are many times self-deceived, and we don't even realize that we're wearing a mask because we've worn it for so long. And it just becomes who we are, but it's really not, right? And so we talked about how sometimes we become self-deceived. Last week, we talked about how we put up the mask and we wear it in order to hide our sin. For fear of being exposed or what someone else might think or whatever. And again, if you missed any of those, go back and check them out on our podcast. But again, today in our final week, we're going to discuss the mask of hiding our hurt. Hiding our hurt. And we do this way, way too often. We put on the mask, act like everything's perfect. Things are going smooth. It's great. But inside, we're devastated, we're destroyed, we're breaking, we're falling apart at the seams. And we put up the mask and we hide our hurt. The late Bum Phillips, who was an NFL coach, he is famous for many, many quotes. And one of his most famous quotes that he said about NFL coaches was that there's two kinds of coaches, them that's fired and them that's going to be fired. And if you follow really any sports, that's true for any professional head coach. But I want to use that and kind of like weave that into our hurt. And this may not be the most encouraging thing that I've ever said, but it's true. It's, again, taking the mask off. It's being real. It's being honest. And in reality, there's two types of people here today. Those that have been hurt and those that will be hurt. Because that's just the reality. That's the world that we live in. Unfortunately, we live in a world that's difficult. It's full of pain. It's full of questions, of things that don't make sense. And, you know, all it takes is one phone call or one doctor's visit or one, you know, update on social media or whatever to really be devastated, to get some really bad news or to be hurt. And that's the world we live in. Jesus said this in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." And he says, "In this world you will have trouble." It's right there. You will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. We're going to experience hurt. I'm not going to sit up here and act like if you know, do this, you do that, life is going to be perfect. Because it's not the case. We live in a fallen world with fallen people, and we're going to experience hurt. But take heart, because God has overcome the world through Jesus. That's our hope. But speaking into a group this size, statistically speaking, there's a pretty good chance that about 30 to 40% of you here right now are currently experiencing some type of extreme hurt. There's something going on or something within you that is painful, that you're walking through, that's not fun, it's not good, it's not what you intended, it's not what you wanted to happen, and you're working through that, and you're confused, and you're frustrated, and you're just hurt. There's a good chance, again, 30 to 40% of people in here are experiencing that. And if you're not, unfortunately, it's probably going to come at some point. Right now, what I want you to do is I want you to take a second, and I want you to look to the person to the left of you. Don't stare at them and be creepy, but just take a glance, right? Now all you're doing is looking at the sides of their heads or the backs of their heads. It's awesome, isn't it? Because they're looking too. Now look to your right. Look to the person behind you. Look to the person in front of you. That's right. You're looking at me. What do you see? People, right? You see people. But my guess is that you see people who honestly are a lot like me and a lot like you, who are pros at wearing a mask. And what you see on the outside may not really be what's reflected on the inside. Maybe not what's really going on, because many times when we're hurting, we wear the mask. We act like everything's fine. A lot of times we do that because we are trained and conditioned by society and our culture that that's what we're supposed to do. Suck it up. Don't let anyone know. Don't burden them with your mess. Put on the mask. Keep it moving. Right? That's what we are conditioned to, hide our hurt. As you look around, you may see someone that seems relaxed, that seems comfortable, might have smiled if y'all caught a glance and everything looks good, but honestly, they may be currently devastated inside. You may have looked at someone who may have just gotten news that either them or someone they love, you know, may have been diagnosed with some some major illness, and they're hurting. You may have looked at someone who recently lost a loved one, a close friend, a family member. Or maybe it was the year anniversary of that and they've really been just struggling with that. Maybe you looked at someone, again, who's always smiling. They seem like the happiest person in the world, but in reality, they're fighting tooth and nail constantly with depression and anxiety. You don't know it because they wear the mask. Maybe you looked at and you saw a married couple that always seems like they have it together. But behind closed doors, there's no communication, and they're on the verge of divorce. We wear a mask constantly. Even when we think we know people, sometimes we don't. Because again, we're pros. We're slick. We might let you in just a little bit, but not fully. We're good at wearing that mask. Maybe there's someone here today that's been coming to church for a long time, and I don't say this for a guilt trip or to make you question anything, but maybe someone's been coming for a while now, and you really don't know Christ, and you're hurting, you still feel this empty void because you're just going through the motions. And maybe God has brought you here today to hear this very thing. That it's time for you to come to know Christ, or it's time for you to drop the mask and get real with people. Let them know what's going on. Not wearing the mask and constantly hiding your hurt. Man, it's time, seriously, to drop the mask. It's exhausting. It's not fun to wear. We feel protected by it. We feel safe behind it. But in reality, we're just making things 10 times worse. We got to drop it. And it's terrifying, right? It's scary to think of being that vulnerable to really expose our hurt to anybody that we come into contact with. But it's critical. It's critical that we drop the mask. And to help us to get past that fear, right, the anxiety and thinking of dropping the mask, I want to share with you a promise that we find in Scripture concerning our hurt. And it's that no matter what your hurt is, right, wherever it, no matter where it comes from, whether it's now, whether it was in the past, or whether it's in the future, but regardless of what your hurt is, no matter what it is, there is hope beyond the hurt. And there is hope beyond the hurt. And it's important for you to know this and understand this, because when you're in the middle of the hurt, it is all-consuming, and it seems like it will never end. It can be just devastating, depending on what it is. But there is hope on the other side of that hurt. And we need to know that. We need to remember that truth, because again, when we're in the middle of it, we don't feel that. All we do is we feel that emotion and that pain, or that thing that happened to you, or that thing that happened to someone that you love, or how everything around you just fell apart like that, and you thought things were good. There's hope beyond the hurt. Check out the words of David in Psalms chapter 62, verses 5 through 8. He was crying out to God, and he said, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God." He says, "My hope comes from him." Again, my hope comes from him. "Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." Again, my hope comes from him. Therefore, we know that no matter what we're going through, no matter how intense that hurt is, there is hope on the other side. Yet we wear the mask, believing that there's not. We may say that with our mouth. We may read that scripture and say, "Okay, yeah, I agree with that." We may have that head knowledge that that's in scripture, but are we truly believing it with our everything? And if we are, then I promise you, we're going to drop the mask. Because there's hope beyond that hurt. I think wearing this mask is one of the most mentally and spiritually devastating things that we could ever do. Because when we wear the mask and we suppress whatever that hurt is and we act like it's not there, not only is it destroying us from the inside out, but it's also destroying our relationship with God. Because we're locked up, barricaded up around this mask. And so with that being said, knowing that there's hope beyond the hurt, how do we begin to actually drop that mask? Because it's not easy. Like I promise you, I understand fully that this mask is one that is hard to drop. It's hard to remove. So how do we drop it? How do we begin that process? How do we take that first step in removing the mask? And the thing that I want you to understand about and to do this, we have to understand that you find your hope, your healing, and your comfort all in God. Your hope, your healing, and your comfort all comes from God. Again, see, God never promised us that we wouldn't go through it, right? That we wouldn't have pain, that we wouldn't have hurt, that it, you know, he didn't promise that it was always going to be, you know, rainbows and sunshine. He didn't promise us that. Like I read in John 16, it said, in this world, you will have trouble. That's the guarantee. You will have trouble. But we also know that he guarantees us that in our hurt, right, in our pain, in our darkest moments, he'll be with you. That he's got your back. That he is your hope, your healing, and your comfort. That there's hope on the other side of that hurt. He also promises that. Think about it this way. How many of you are parents or have been responsible for taking care of a child for a long period of time, right? Yeah, lots of us in here. So think about when your child, when they were younger, or maybe they're still young, but when they were younger, probably below 20, but say below 10, when they get hurt or when they get sick, think about how they respond to that. When they're sick, what do they do? How do they act? Currently, I have a sick kid at home that's been sick since like last Saturday off and on. He's got some type of crazy weird stomach bug that we thought we were past. It's 2 days without any illnesses. I won't go into detail, but you can just use your imagination on what I mean by illness. And then this morning he woke up thrown up again, sick again. So I'm kind of thinking through, like, how is he acting? How is he responding? And you know, I don't know about you all, but with my kids, there were some things that they do when they get hurt or when they get sick, and there's some things that they don't do, right? What they don't do is they don't come to me and say, hey, Dad, can you please, like, give me this specific diagnosis of my current illness or pain so that I may pray it away and just trust that God will supernaturally just remove this from my life. They have never done that. They'll pray, you know, for it, whatever, but they don't come to me like that. They don't go to Jen and, you know, and say things like that, like, hey, Mom, will you please teach me the undeniable truths that I need to know about life so that I don't get this illness again or that I don't get hurt again or so that I don't throw my t-shirt up over my face and run around like a maniac and run into the wall and bump my head. True story, by the way. They don't do that. I mean, maybe your kids do. Mine don't. No mask right there. My kids don't do that. But what they, when they're sick, and I'm sure you probably had this exact same experience, when your kids are sick or when they're hurt, all they really need is a safe place. They need a soft shoulder to cry on. They need to cuddle up or come sit on the couch by you and just know that it's all good. That's been our experience. You know, when Amelia or Sawyer have been hurt or when they're sick, you know, all they got to do is go up to Jen and sit beside her and she puts her arm around and says, hey, it's okay. You're going to be fine. And you're doing great. And you're going to be okay. And that gives them the confidence that they need to keep moving forward. To know that there is hope beyond that. Beyond that illness, beyond whatever it is that they're currently struggling with. And my hope and my prayer today is that you will understand this as it relates to you and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. That you can drop the mask and just run into his arms. And when you do, he's going to say, hey, it's all good. I got you. There is hope beyond this hurt. You're okay. You'll experience that in those moments. That's all we need. He's with you. He's never going to leave you. He has your back. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 11 says, I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord. Beautiful promise. Simple but beautiful truth. Again, your kids, your children, if you say, I'm with you, we'll go through this together, that gives them so much courage and confidence. And it's the same thing with us with God. So again, how do we do this? Like, how do we really drop the mask? And the first step that I want you to take on this journey is to first acknowledge and own your current hurt. You have to do that. You cannot be self-deceived. You have to take the first step and say, this is my hurt. This is my current pain. This is what I'm going through. I am. It's the truth. You have to acknowledge it and own it. Sometimes that's much easier than other times. Sometimes there's these little trivial hurts and little minor things that we can say, yeah, this is my hurt, and I can own that pretty easily. Other times it's tough. It's tough to go back and acknowledge that thing that you've suppressed for years and years and years or whatever it may be, and to really say, here's my hurt. Drop that mask. It's not easy. But let me ask you, what hurt are you concealing? When you have that mask up, what hurts behind that? What pain is behind that? Not an easy question, not a fun question to work through, but an important question. Because if we don't acknowledge and own where we're at, there's no hope for us to move forward. Because we're just sitting behind the mask. So what hurt are you concealing? Now I want you to encourage you not only to identify it up here, but I want you to write it down somewhere. Type it in your phone. Give it life. Tell somebody. Talk about scary, right? But tell somebody. Someone you trust, someone that you love. What's that hurt? For some of you, maybe it's something more from your past. Maybe you grew up with an alcoholic in the home, and all you remember is just constantly being on edge, never knowing what was going to happen next. Didn't know what you were going to do that would maybe set him off or set her off or whatever it may be. And you've buried it, but that's kept you in constant unrest because that's your hurt. Maybe that's what it is for you. Maybe for you, it's that you currently find yourself unemployed or at work and thinking that you might be unemployed soon because things aren't going well or whatever it may be. But that's your hurt. Maybe for you, it's that you had this whole idea of how life was going to be, and then all of a sudden that's just crumbled around you and it's not like you thought it was, and you're angry at God for it. You feel like God has abandoned you. You feel like God has left you, that he doesn't, in fact, have your back, and that he's not, in fact, good. Maybe that's honestly where you're at. If that is, acknowledge it. Own it. You have to acknowledge your hurt. Maybe for you, that's you've been cheated on, or you've been betrayed in some way, shape, or form, and it's just hard for you to think about trusting anyone again. Man, we have to acknowledge your hurt. And again, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but it's the reality. Again, statistics show that this is, in fact, the case, but I promise you there's someone in here, or multiple people probably in here, who have been hurt by someone. We're violated in some way. We're abused. That's reality, and maybe that's your hurt. Maybe you've never really dealt with that. You've never really been able to move past that. And if that's true, if that's you, I'm so sorry that that's happened to you. But there's hope beyond that hurt. And first thing we have to do is we have to acknowledge it. We have to take that bold step and say, here's my hurt. And God, I trust that there's hope beyond that. I know because you say that you're good. So once we acknowledge our hurt, we write it down, type it into our phone somewhere, tell someone, whatever avenue you choose to do with that. The next thing is for that healing process, for God to bring healing to our hurt, we have to understand that there's different ways in which God brings healing. It's like we talked about some last week. There's different ways that God's going to bring healing to our hurt. And the first way that we see is that God heals us through his people. And I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to take this piece lightly. God heals through his people. Again, when our kids are sick and when they're hurting, the first thing that they do is they make a beeline to whoever it is that they trust the most that's there. They run straight to them. I mean, that's what they do, because they understand that in that current hurt, that physical hurt or illness, they can get to that person that they trust, that they know is going to have their back, that's going to be there for them, and that it's all going to be okay. But somewhere along the way, as we grow up, we begin to divert from that. When we start to get hurt, we don't run to somebody we trust. Typically run from them. We begin to shell up, right? We isolate. We build walls. They're not going to understand this, or what is this going to make them think about me? I don't even know what I think about myself, so it's just safer to throw up the mask and act like it's fine. No, I'm good. I'm good. No, we're good. I'm fine. Really, yeah, I know you saw that thing happen, but aces, we're good. No worries. Perfectly fine. I'm happy. Happiest I've ever been in my life. We wear the mask. We isolate. And it prevents us from moving forward. It prevents us from being healed. That's why the person to your left and to your right, person in front of you and behind you, man, they're some of your greatest resources in receiving healing. The people that God has put in your life, that network that he's built around you, so we can be healed. We have to understand that God heals us at times through his people. This is why Paul said this in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Paul says, he says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." It's because community is critical. We should be celebrating wins with each other. As things go well, man, this should be the first people that we run to and we celebrate with. But when things fall apart, we're not designed, and it was never intended for us to throw up the mask, right? And act like it's all okay. We're supposed to make a beeline to those people we love and trust so they can weep with us if we need to. Or they can push us through it. Or sometimes they need to pop you in the back of the head and say, get your head out of the sand and let's move forward. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Essentially, do life together. Right? That's why I'm looking at a few LifePoint t-shirts that are out here right now. And it says, do life. But are we really? Do the people around you right now know you're hurt? Are you wearing a mask? We can do life together all day long, all of us wearing a bunch of masks, sitting around acting like everything's fine. But are we making any difference? When you go home and you're alone after that, do you feel relieved? Do you feel like some burdens have been lifted off? Do you feel like you're taking a step forward and that those people helped you? Or did you just do the little dog and pony show and then go home? Got to drop the mask. Got to stop putting up the front. I think about different times in my own life when I was trying to conceal and hide my hurt. One of the most difficult times, I think, that I tried to do this, and it was miserable, and I tried hard. Is many of you know that that I work at a residential treatment facility with kids in a psychiatric program, kids that have experienced a lot, have a lot of hurt, and several years ago, we had a kid that committed suicide in our program, and that was probably the darkest day that I've experienced working through that, and having to rush into work and lead through that. It was terrible, absolutely terrible, heartbreaking. One of the worst days of my life. And I tried to be the strong leader, put up the mask. To some extent I had to, because I had to lead my team. But then even when I left and I was around the people that should have mourned with me, I threw up a mask. I'm like, I'm good. Good. Praise God, I'm strong. And I was breaking inside. Breaking. And thankfully, I had some people that knew me enough that called me on it and said, "You're not fine. You're not fine. Get rid of the mask and let's have a conversation." And that's where healing began. Once I dropped the mask and allowed God's people to hold me up when I was devastated, heartbroken, confused. You see, we have to drop the mask and understand that God uses his people. There's hope behind beyond your hurt. In fact, God's never going to waste your hurt. He's going to use that. He's going to use that to help others so that we can hold someone else up. So now when someone else has to experience that loss and that hurt that comes, I've been there. And man, I wish it wasn't the case. But I can help them. Because I know what God did for me. And I know what his people did for me. He doesn't waste your hurt. And there's hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Paul says this, and I love this. It says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles." And this is why. "So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." It's a cycle. None of us want to experience hurt. None of us want to have to go through those dark moments. But when we do, God's going to use that. He's going to comfort us. He's going to build us up if we're open enough. And then we will have the privilege to be able to help someone else through that, because we ourselves received it. We have to drop the mask. We have to get real, because God heals us through his people. And we have to be open and vulnerable to that in order to move forward. The second way and the final way that we see that God brings healing to our hurt is that God heals us through his presence. His beautiful, sweet presence. And he provides healing through that. You see, many of us have experienced hurt. And we have found some coping mechanisms, right, for that hurt. Typically, those coping mechanisms are fairly toxic. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And what we need to understand is that God's presence is so much better than any coping mechanism that you can try to throw in to help you get through that hurt. God's presence is so much better than what you pour into that glass constantly, that you're just over drinking, trying to drown away that hurt. Or those pills that you've become addicted to, or whatever it may be. Maybe for you it's you know, overeating or whatever. God's presence is better than that chocolate lava cake, I promise. Chocolate lava cake is great. But his presence is so much better than any of those things that you are trying and attempting to use to cover up and suppress that pain and that hurt. His presence is beautiful. It's strong, it's powerful. And in that combination of his presence and his people, man, we can receive healing. In the Old Testament, scripture says to repent and turn to God, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of our Lord. How many of you would be honest this morning and say you could really use a time of refreshing? Bam. Go two hands on you. A time of refreshing. God heals through his presence. David, we talked about him some last week, and before he was king, he was on the run. Like his entire life was at that point was marked by him trying to stay physically alive. Because the current king, King Saul, man, he wasn't real stoked about the thought of David becoming king. So he sent out his men. He released them to find David and to kill him. So dude's on a run. Like, that's not a, that's a time of hurt right there. That's a time of fear. That's a time of, that's not good. I mean, think about that. If you knew the king was out to get you, and he had a big army, and he had all these, I mean, it would not be good times. And so David was on the run for his life, constantly in danger, constantly being accused. And yet in Psalms 71, verse 14, he said this. He said, "As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more." See, we could read that in a vacuum and say, okay, for me, I'll always have hope and I will praise you more and more. We could say that when things are going good. That's really tough to say when things are falling apart. And David said this while he was on the run for his life. "I will always have hope and I will praise you more and more." We have to claim that same truth. Yet some of you are thinking to yourselves right now, I know it because I've thought this myself at times, is how can you say that I can always have hope? How can you say that there's always hope? How can you say that there's always reason to praise God? I mean, people, man, have been abused, right? People have been molested. People are dying of cancer. People have been cheated on. Good people. Right, we live in a society right now where kids are neglected, and we have an opioid epidemic like that is the real deal, not good. There's homeless people out on every corner. Things are falling apart. How can you say there's always hope? How can you say you can always praise God? I can say that. David could say that. You can say that because there is. There is always hope. And I understand that that is not easy to say. And that is not easy to claim. Again, from the work that I have done over the past 12 and a half years at Youspiritus, I have come face to face with some of the ugliest truths of our world. Heartbroken. I've seen it all. You name it, I've seen it. But even in all that, I can confidently say that there's always hope. There's hope. There's hope beyond the pain. There's hope beyond the hurt. And I believe this and know this because Psalms 46 verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble." And for that reason, I have hope, right? Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "But he," being Jesus, "who was pierced for our transgressions, he was crucified for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." I mean, what better of a reason to have hope than that? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." And because of that, we have hope. Psalms 147, verse 3, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Psalms 91, verses 1 and 2, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." You may be experiencing hurt. If you're not, at some point in the future, you will experience hurt. Not fun to talk about, but it's reality. But the good news is there's hope. There's hope beyond your hurt. In your darkest hour, there's hope. And his name is Jesus. There's hope. You may not feel it right now, but there is. And some of you, man, you're still wearing the mask. You're covering up and you're hiding your hurt. You're hiding your pain. And because of what you've experienced or whatever that hurt is, you feel distant and separated from God. You've put up this wall and another wall and a mask and another mask. You just feel distant. And if that's you, I pray as we close that you will claim this truth found in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, when Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us. No hurt, no pain, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. He's our hope. He's our hope beyond the hurt. He's our God. He's our comforter, our friend, our fortress, our deliverer, our strength. He's our everything. And because of that, we have hope beyond the hurt. Because of that, you can drop the mask. You can drop it. You don't have to wear it anymore. Be free of that burden. Because it's a burden. It's exhausting. You may feel a little safer, but you're not. It's beating you up, it's wearing you down, and it's exhausting. You know it, and I know it. The people around you honestly know it. So drop the mask today. We all have hurt. It's okay. It's okay because there's hope. There's hope beyond that hurt. Let's pray. God, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I come knowing that, man, we all have hurt. We've all experienced some things. If we were all honest in here, there's some heaviness in our heart right now, something that we're working through, something we're dealing with, something that we're fighting with and wrestling with that's destroying us from the inside out, God. God, I know that. We all know that, and you know that. So, God, give us the strength, the boldness to actually drop that mask. Most importantly, drop that mask with you. And to drop that mask with those around us so that we can begin to be healed. God, we thank you that you are our hope, that you are our strength, that in you there's a time of refreshing. God, and I pray that for each and every person that's in here this morning, God, that you would heal them from this hurt, that they would take the steps necessary for healing. Because you're good, and we thank you for that. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and yes, you have hurt. Yes, you're going through some things, and you've been in a tough spot, and you want healing. You long for that. You long to be able to drop the mask. But you've realized today that you really can't move in that direction because you've never been connected with Christ. You've never stepped over that line of faith and given him your life. You've never confessed and believed in him as your Lord and as your Savior. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to really begin to work through that. Again, talking about you have to acknowledge and own where you're at. Maybe that's where you're at. And if so, that's okay. We've all been there. Some of us are still there. And if that's you this morning, just let go and just give your life to Christ. It's the most incredible decision you'll ever make. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you'll be saved. You see, God is so good and he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to take on your guilt, your shame. But not only did he die for you, but he rose victoriously, defeating death and the grave for you, so that you could be made right with the Father and be connected with him, so that you could be set free. See, because of that, no hurt can hold you back. No wrongdoing can hold you back. In him you are made new. Old things passed away. All things are new. So if that's you this morning, man, just call on him. Confess and believe. Step over that line of faith and give him your life. It's not your words. It's not anything other than you just being honest. A heart decision, heart and soul. Confess and you believe. Encourage you to do that today. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower. And man, you've been hurt. Time and time again, you've been hurt. Instead of working through those things, you've just thrown up a mask. Or maybe you've partially started to work through it, but you threw up another mask when it got tough. Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. Working through your hurt's tough. That's tough work. But it's worth it. And know that there's hope. His name is Jesus. And you know that with your head. But really embrace that with your heart this morning. Drop the mask. Let his people bring healing. Maybe it's you need to be there for someone else. You see that they're wrestling. You see that they're wearing a mask. It's a bogus mask and you can see it. Maybe you need to go help them. Or maybe you need to receive that help. And most importantly, rest in his presence. Let his presence bring healing. Whatever it is that God's leading you to this morning, whatever he's speaking to you, be responsive. And you do business with him. Take those steps that you need to stick, you need to take in order to move forward, to be healed. There's hope beyond that hurt, I promise. More than me promising, God promises you that. So receive that this morning. God, as we close this out and enter into a time, God, of just listening to you, as Jared and the team play, God, may you speak to our hearts. And may we hear and receive your truth. And take action on the things that you reveal to us, God. Maybe it's that we just need to quiet down everything and just rest in your presence to receive that healing. Maybe we need to confess to other people. Maybe we need to let people know what we're going through and to remove those masks, God. God, whatever it is, may we be individuals in a church, Lord, that has zero masks. We're not pretending anything, but we're real and we're raw and we're authentic. God, and may we be bold enough and loving enough to actually be that church, because it's going to take that. Help us to be prepared for true authenticity and no masks. And may you get all the glory for that, God, and may we be set free as a result. Set free to do more things for you, reach more people for you, to truly be on mission and reach this city, Lord, for you. God, we thank you.